Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. We are back, not 100%, but we are here so we can get started. Lauren.
Okay, Lord, please open up our minds to help us understand your word. Open our eyes to see the wonderful truth in your instructions. Give us understanding so that we can know you better. And please give us spiritual wisdom and insight so that we might grow in our knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to start with Isaiah. And I've never read all of Isaiah. I'm familiar with the scriptures, but I never read all of it. So I'm excited to do this one. Just with the first chapter, I was already in awe. So just to give you a short intro, Isaiah, he was a prophet and a seer. So he had visions. Not only did God spoke to him through many ways, and visions were some of those. And I didn't know this, but a lot of the commentaries said how Isaiah is like a mini version of the entire Bible because it includes the Old Testament and the New.
Really?
Yeah, because it talks about the coming of Jesus Christ. So it has, and I was like, oh, I never thought of that, you know. And then if you think about it, Isaiah is the one that's most quoted in the gospel, so right. In the gospel in John, so that Jesus quotes, it's Isaiah. So so I thought that was neat. And he was also and he was an intercessor for God's people. He was married. He had two sons. One commentary said that his wife was a prophetess, but I didn't get to research on who she was or her name. I don't know if that's even.
But I don't remember. Do they even mention her? I think the only thing, is it Isaiah that when his wife dies, he can't mourn?
No, that's, I think that's Ezekiel. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because so, I don't know if they mention his wife, right?
I think it does, but we'll have to, and it might not give in many details on her, but I think we'll see as we read through Isaiah. But he did have two sons, and also Isaiah is known as a very like the prophet with a lot of courage. Like he wasn't without fear. Like, I guess he spoke boldly compared to the, because you know how like with Jeremiah, they say that he was the weeping prophet. And a lot of them didn't want to preach.
Right.
And Isaiah did. Well, Isaiah did it boldly. And also he preached, he ministered after, he was the last one to minister after all the other prophets, after Elijah, Elisha, Jonah, Amos. He was the last one to minister to the people of Israel and Judah. Yeah. And he also ministered for 20 years. And just to set the scene a little bit, this is after, because Isaiah runs parallel with Kings and Chronicles, because it was during the time after Israel had already split into the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom, and he ministered to both. And if you've read Kings, then you will know that towards the end there were several kings, and like the Northern Kingdom, they were all bad kings. I think it was I read it was like 18 kings, and then the southern Judah had like 11 kings, some good and some bad. So Isaiah gets his vision after the king Ahaz. No, is it Ahaz? Don't quote me on that because I'm not sure. It was after one of the kings It might have been
Uzziah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was after.
And Ahaz too. It has several names. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Ezekiah of Judah. So it's
okay. Several. So it was after Uzziah died. I think that okay. it begins that his prophecy begins. So a light there on Isaiah. So I'll go ahead and get started. We're gonna do the first chapter, so it's not that big. So I think that we'll get through it, and there's a lot there.
Okay.
So just to set the scene here, God actually comes in and sets the scene. It's Judah. The name of the chapter is Judah on Trial, because it's like God's bringing his complaint or case against Judah. Right. So we'll start with verse 1. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reigns of kings Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah of Judah. Listen, heavens, and pay attention, earth, for the Lord has spoken. Here, you know, he says, listen, heaven, and pay attention, earth. So it's like if they're the jury, right? Here you are in a courtroom and they're the jury.
Right.
For the Lord has spoken. I have raised children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's feeding trough. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. So here already in these few verses, God's already calling them out. You know, here he's coming as a judge and as a father. And he's saying, I have raised children and I have brought them up, but they're rebelling against me. And he's saying that the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's feeding. So a donkey knows who feeds them and the ox knows his master.
Right.
And he's saying that the people are worse than that. They're dumber than that. You know, he's saying that they don't.
Bad.
Yeah. That's like they bad. Don't know who their master is and they don't know who. Because we're supposed to get our strength and from God. Right. That's who.
It's almost like. He's saying, look at these animals. They're smarter than you.
Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. And he says, my people do not understand. So they don't know my ways. Like they're clueless about me, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you're wondering, you know, if you're thinking, well, I've never rebelled against him. You know what? Well, he's not talking about me. I've never rebelled against him. Then you're worse. That you're worse than the donkey and the. That's you. You're worse than the donkey and the ox, because anybody who understands God knows
mm-hmm.
we are. We've done. We've rebelled, and you know we've. I don't think that a person has treated their parents any worse than the way that we have treated God.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So. So here in Isaiah, he's talking to everybody. That's what I am learning, is that it speaks to everyone. Everyone who is alive today, Isaiah speaks to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, to us, right? Yeah.
Right. So, O sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, brood of evildoers, depraved children, they have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned their backs on him. And if we look at those words that he's using, we really see, I think in Isaiah, we're going to see a lot of we're going to learn more about God and his emotions,
how
you know,
mm-hmm.
how he felt. And, and as a father, you know, because if you're a parent and when your children rebel against you, you know, and all you've ever tried to do is to take care of them, and now they're they're rebelling against you and they don't want to listen to you when you know what's best for them. We're going to see that here, you know, and that's what he's saying. You're weighing yourself down with your inequity. You know, you're evil, you're depraved children. You know, you've abandoned the Lord, despised the Holy One of Israel. You've turned your back on him. Yeah. So why do you want more beatings? Why do you keep on rebelling? So here he's like saying, you keep going back for more, you know, like you keep going back for more beatings. Why do you keep doing this? You know where your sin takes you. You know, why do you continue to do this and returning to your sins? The whole head is hurt and the whole heart is sick. And here he's talking, when he says the whole head, he's talking to the leaders, right? The head, to those that are supposed to lead us into, to be closer to him.
Right.
That they're not right in their minds, you know, that the thoughts are not of God's way and their whole heart is sick. And that we've learned, you know, in doing Genesis, how God looks at your heart. God looks at your heart, you know. Mm-hmm. And here he's saying that your heart is sick, your heart is hardened, your heart is black, you know.
Right.
And this is where, you know, and he's saying, you're walking away from me. You've turned your back on me. And the next verse, it says, from the sole of the foot, even to the head. So he includes the feet, the heart, the head. So you're, everything. It's like your thoughts are not about me. Your heart is not mine. And you're walking away from me. You're turning your back on me. You're walking away from me. Yep.
Right. Wow. Yep.
He says, no spot is uninjured. So you have wounds, welts, and festering sores. You're falling apart. You're decaying. You know, you're decaying. Right. Your sin is causing you to decay, to fall apart. And we see that because we see how in a lot of sinners, they have a lot of sickness. Well, not a lot of sinners, but a lot of, you know, I think when we, as we carry that sin with us.
Well, you start you're more bitter, you're angry at the world.
Mm-hmm. We see the anxiety, you know, right. Depression. We see all those things. So, and he's pointing that out. Like I love how here God is being very detailed. I mean, if you pay attention to the words, he's being very detailed. He's telling you boldly, like, look, you're not hiding anything from me. Look what I'm seeing, and how blindly we can be that we don't see that, you know,
in
ourselves.
Right.
So,
because we don't want to believe it. Oh, no, that's not us he's talking about. That's not right. Us, you know?
Yep. And I thought about that because when he says the donkey and the ox, you know, and it's like those that have rebelled, and you never think that, well, it's not me because I, you know, I'm not that bad, and or right. I go to church or I do these things, but because I remember being that way. Now I'm like, oh my God, he's talking about me because I can remember when I was rebelling against him. I can remember when I was walking away from him, yeah. You know, when my heart wasn't his, when my thoughts weren't of him. So. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you're thinking that this isn't you, then, you know, you're a donkey or you're worse than a donkey.
You're an ox.
You're worse than a donkey and an ox. So, but, you know, so here God has stricken Judah, but they continue to rebel and God will continue to strike them because he's like, you know, because he had already begun, you know, they had with all the kings and the way they were laid astray, and they had their idols. Remember when they split, they were already bringing their idols into the temple and all that stuff. So they were like way off already. And right. God had already stricken them. He had already, you know, he had tried to get their attention already, but they continued to rebel. And so God would continue to strike them, you know, as a parent, as a good parent, when you address your kids when they're doing something wrong and you
you have to be firm
and you you know, punish them, you know, in a sense, not beat them, but in the sense that they will learn, you know, discipline them is the word I was looking for. So
me
so
too.
God had already tried to God had already tried different methods to discipline them, and they were still rebelling.
Right. And so, remember, even when he disciplined them, he made sure they were taken care of, you know?
Yes.
And that's one of the worst parts, even for me thinking back on my journey, or even before I came on my journey, like, man, I was still taken care of. I just didn't, you know, didn't appreciate it, didn't want to see it.
We're missing all the signs. Yeah, we were totally missing all the signs. Now looking back, and he tells them too. You know, you're not cleansed, bandaged, or soothed with oil. Like, you know, when you were with me, I took care of you. You know, and here, and I can, you know, we can relate to that as moms, because when our kids would come home from school and we inspect them, you know, like, who did this to you? And what, and you know, or why didn't they, you know, if they had a cut or anything, it's like, why didn't the teacher, you know, put a bandage on you? Or why didn't they call me? Or why didn't, you know, so we can relate to that. There where God is saying, look at you, you're all dirty. You're not, you know, you're not bandaged. You're not soothed, your wounds aren't soothed with oil, you know, a concerned father, a concerned loving father. So, you know, that gives us another insight into how God feels for us, his children. Your land is desolate, your cities burned down, foreigners devour your fields right in front of you, a desolation like a place demolished by foreigners. So he's telling them, look at you, look at how desolate, you know, how dry, how your cities are all burnt down. You know, here's the image of, because Assyria, you know, Judah was being attacked by Israel, by Syria, by Iran, by the Philistines, by Assyria. So, and this is all in Chronicles. So he's like, look at you, you know, like you're falling apart. Don't you see it? Look at where you're at. You know, look at where you're at. And how many times have we had that conversation, you know, conversation with somebody that we love or care about? Like, look, look at where you're at, what you've become, you know?
Right.
And he says, daughter Zion is abandoned, like a shelter in a vineyard, like a shack in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. So it's like you've been taken, you know, you've been taken, you've been overcome by your enemies, is what he's saying. And when he says daughter Zion, you know, that's his, like his daughter, you know, like his daughter, or his bride, you know, he's talking about his bride. And, you know, I have read once where when to think of daughter Zion as his virgin bride, you know, to where once she was righteous and she was pure and she was clean. And it's like, now look what you've become, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then on, you know, we'll continue on verse 9. If the Lord of armies had not left us a few survivors, we would be like Saddam. We would resemble Gomorrah. And that's like, you know, those are harsh.
Very harsh.
Yes.
Compared if you know, to Saddam and Gomorrah, like, wow, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I
kind of hear his voice, like, you're reading it and I can try and picture or hear his voice. But even though he's saying these things to her or to them, it's almost still with the loving tone, you know, because I can't picture him being so furious, like where you're like this, it could be firm, but still such loving words to him, you know, another attempt at bringing them back.
Yes. You know? Yep. And being, you know, he's, and the truth, you know, like what, because a lot of times we're not, the truth hurts. And a lot of times we don't want to hear it and we don't want to see it. But here he's being very truthful, of course, God, very truthful, but like very clear, like the just the words, I'm taken by the words that he's using to where I would have read this before and I might have missed some of it. But, you know, we read about Saddam and Gomorrah in Genesis and they were the worst of the worst. And he destroyed them completely, you know? And here it says, if the Lord of armies had not left us a few survivors. So he did have mercy on a few survivors here in, when he's talking about Judah. So, that he left a few survivors, and that shows us his mercy, you know, because remember, like with Noah, where he said he wouldn't do that again, where he destroyed everybody completely. And remember in Genesis 2, where is it Abraham that goes and speaks for the people? Remember, he wants to send the angels. Is it, was that Abraham or Jacob?
It was Abraham, where he asked Abraham. Him if he thinks if there was like 10 people.
All right. Yes. And that number, remember the number, but if I find 10, but right. Yes.
Yeah. And really he saved Lot, but I think more for favor for Abraham.
Yes. Yep.
You know, but I was going to say, yeah, because for this, remember, he can see the heart. So there was nobody had a good heart in that area with Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right. Right.
And so for him just to say not left us a few survivors, like, wow, that's just like now. Remember, we talked about that.
Yeah.
How many saved people are there in this whole world? You
in
know,
this whole world. How many?
Yeah. Very many. Yeah.
Yep. And so and then here we'll see again where he's going to call out the hypocrites. You know, he continues. And here we're going to see God again as, you know, to where we're seeing God as a father there. Then here we're going to see him as a judge again. Hear the word of the Lord, the rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. So I think I read that wrong. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instructions of our God, you people of Gomorrah. So he's calling out the rulers, the rulers. So those are the leaders, you know, the people right. that are supposed to lead us back to God, you know, and that can be, you know, that can be priests, that can be any of those that are leading you away from God, because and those are the ones that he has talking to, because he does have his people who he's put it on them to lead people back to him. And they're not doing that, you know, they might actually be leading you away from him. Right. And then, but he's also calling out the people, all the people of, you know, he's not only calling the rulers, but the people too. What are all your sacrifices to me? Asked the Lord, because the people were still continuing their traditions. They were still going and doing the sacrifices. They were still praying. They were still, right. You know, doing all the ceremonies and all those things. But here we're going to see where God's mm-hmm. disgusted with all of that, because their hearts are far from him. You know, he tells them, what are all your sacrifices to me? Asked the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of well-fed cattle. I have no desire for the blood of the bulls, lambs, or male goat. When you come to appear before me, who requires this from you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing useless offerings. Your incense is just detestable to me. I mean, just the words there. And it doesn't matter in what right. Version of the Bible you read it. Like, the words are very
again, strong. His feelings. Yeah. Right. Right.
Yes. So new moons and Sabbath and the calling of Salama assemblies. I cannot stand iniquity with a festival. I hate your new moons and prescribed festivals. They have become a burden to me. I am tired of putting up with them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will refuse to look at you. Even if you offer countless prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. You know, wow. And you might think that, well, no, my hands aren't covered with blood. I haven't done anything that bad. But, you know, when he speaks of your hands are covered with blood, if especially, you know, for those that have a family, because God is the protector of the family. I remember in Genesis, you know, he tells them, I want you to have godly offspring. You know, that was what we were supposed to do here on this earth, is have godly offspring.
Right.
So if you're not treating each other with love, your family, your children, if you're leading your children in the wrong direction by your actions, then your hands are covered in blood. You know,
right.
If you're not leading your children and your family towards God, and instead mm-hmm. you're leading them away from God, then mm-hmm. your hands are covered with blood.
Right.
You know, and we know that in John, he says in 1 John verse 4, he says, if someone says, I love God, but hates their brother, he is a liar. You know, because you can't say that I love God and then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing with your family and leading your family towards towards God.
Yeah.
So, and then the next verse is this, the purification of Jerusalem, how to purify yourself. So we see how upset God is, right? He brings his case against the people. And now we're going to read about the purification of his people. He says, wash yourselves, cleanse yourselves, remove your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do what is good. Pursue justice. Correct the oppressor. Defend the rights of the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. So, you know, again, if we look at the words wash, cleanse, remove, stop, learn what is good, pursue justice, correct the oppressor, defend, you know. So, I mean, he states it clearly what we're supposed to be doing, you know, stand for what is right. And what's happened, and what we see is the complete opposite. If you look around you, it's the complete opposite that's happening.
And then, you know, those are, you know, if you think about it, those are very powerful words that he's telling you. They're simple words, but if you listen to the words, it's like they're very powerful. You know, they're simple words. Wash yourself, remove, you know,
remove your evil deeds, cleanse yourself, stop. Right. It's stop doing evil. Like he's very, and very clear, simple words. Like you can't say, I don't understand what that means because you're lying.
Right.
So, and then, you know, then he says, come, let's settle this. So he invites us, you know, come, let's settle this. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are crimson red, they will be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So he's inviting us. He's not saying, that's it. You've done all this. I'm done with you. I'm tired of it. No, he's saying, he calls us out on all those things. But then he says, come. He invites us, come, let's settle this. You know, let's make things right. Let me help you, you know. Right. Let's face the truth, you know. Let's find a way out. And I think that's the part where people run away.
Right.
You know?
No, absolutely.
That's the part where they're like, I'm not going over there. So, And he's saying, your sins are scarlet, but they will be white as snow. He's saying, let me pay your debt. You know, he's saying, let me give you a fresh start, you know? And he says, learn to do what is good. You know, somebody who doesn't care about you is not going to tell you, learn to do what is good, you know? Right. And he's saying, learn to do what is good. He's saying, and he tells us, pursue justice. Like he's given us, you know, like good fatherly advice, you know, correct the oppressor, stand for what is right, you know, defend the rights of the fatherless and plead the widow's cause. So that tells you right there how much he cares about family, because he says that over and over throughout the Bible, you know, the fatherless and the widows. So again, it's, you know, the family is very important to God.
Very important.
And, but I think this is where people get
because they don't want to do the hard work.
No, they get stuck. You know, here is where they run away. But he tells them, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. So that, you know, we have to surrender to him, and we have to be willing to face that truth and to own up to our sins, because he's not taking away from our sins. He's saying, even though you've done all these things, come, let's settle this. Let's make this right. You know?
Right. Right.
He's not saying, because you did all these things, I'm done with you. He's saying,
no,
even though you did those things, you know, even though he uses though, your sins are scarlet. Right. Yeah, we can still make it right.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's just, it's insane to continue in our sins and to continue to reject his invite. Like,
right.
That's like, you know, like saying, hey, I can, you know, you're in court and he's saying you're being told all the things that you did and there's proof of all the bad things that you did, but they're saying I can still let you go home. You know, you can still go home.
Yeah.
If you're willing and obedient. And it's when you reject them, it's like saying, no, that's okay. Just throw me in jail. You know, just keep me a prisoner. I'll be a prisoner. I'd rather be a prisoner than to be obedient.
I think it just goes back to, yeah, the defiant child. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm an adult. I'm going to go on my way. And you know, the things that we know about God is, you know, of course he wants you back, but again, he gives you free will. So he's not going to force you, but he is going to tell, you know, say, you know, come, we can, let us settle this. You know, though your sins are scarlet, I can wash them away and you will be white as snow. But it's just like you said, I mean, this is where people get scared and they probably think, well, how they think they're going to change, I guess. Right. Or like,
yeah. Or that there's still time, you know? And right. I think that's a big one. Like, well, I still have time, you know, he's a loving father, you know, he'll always be there. I'll come back later and deal with this later, you know?
Yeah. But once that door shuts, and we talked about that when we read about Noah, like, what's that?
Yes.
The angel seals it. There's no reopening it.
Right. Know? And you know, there's he says if you reject, like he does say that he will stop pursuing you if you continue to reject him. And if you and it says on here, if you refuse and rebel, continue to rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. So that's death, you know.
That's
And you might think, well, okay, everybody has to die. No, that's like death while you're still here. That's like death in your marriage, death in your job, you know, that's spiritually dead, you know, like your family, you know, relationships will be dead, you know, like it will, when he says you will be devoured by the sword, he means it, you know.
You're not talking about physical death, it's spiritual death, right? Okay.
Yes.
Because we talked about that, like he told Adam and Eve, you know, if you eat the fruit from the knowledge or the
tree of knowledge,
right, you will be dead, but it wasn't physical death, it's spiritual. Right. This is what he's talking about here as well, too.
Exactly. Yep. And you will, you know, you will kill yourself trying to find peace and joy, you know, you will. Yeah. Because you'll be searching and searching for that peace and joy, and you will not find it. The only way that you will find it is if you turn and return to God.
To him, right.
Yep. And so, and then, you know, he continues, the faithful town, Jerusalem. He's talking about Jerusalem, the faithful town. What an adulteress she has become. She was once full of justice. Righteousness once dwelt in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross to be discarded. Your beer is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, friends of thieves. They all love graft and chase after bribes. They do not defend the rights of the fatherless, and the widow's case never comes before them. So again, he mentions the fatherless and the widows.
Yeah.
And you know, if we look at the words here, look what he uses. Adulterers, murderers, deluded, rebels, thieves, bribes, you know, and and what does Satan come to do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
Right. So here we see where that he's saying, like, you're no longer that daughter Zion, my daughter, you know, you're now an adulteress.
Right.
So you're no longer full of righteousness and justice. You're the complete opposite of them.
Murderers, right.
Yep. And then I love this part. I love this verse. This is the side of God that I like to see, because I think we don't put enough attention to that, you know. So it's when he refers to himself as Lord God of armies, you know, because it's the side of God, you know, of where he's a warrior. You know, don't think that God's this little old man, you know, on the porch waiting for you to come home. That is not him. If that's your image of God, then you're
reading the wrong Bible.
Yes. You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he is also a warrior. You know, he's also a warrior.
Right.
You know, his hand is mighty. You know, his power is great. And he is the leader of an angel army, you know? Yeah. So I love this part. Whenever it says the Lord God of armies, I love it. It's, you know, and so I'll read, therefore, the Lord God of armies, the mighty one of Israel, declares, I will get even with my foes. I will take revenge against my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and will burn away your dross completely. I will remove all your impurities. I will restore your judges to what they were at first and your advisors to what they were at the start. Afterward, you will be called the righteous city, a faithful town. Zion will be redeemed by justice, those who repent by righteousness. At the same time, both rebels and sinners will be broken, and those who abandon the Lord will perish. So here, he's revealing his plan. Okay, right. He's revealing his plan. But I want you to pay attention to where he says, I will get even with my foes, my enemies. If you know, I don't think we ever see ourselves as his enemy, you know, as right. God's enemy. But if you're rejecting him and if you're drawing people away from him instead of towards him,
we are the enemies.
And we are the enemies, you know, we are the enemies and we are his foes. And here he's telling us, I will turn my hand against you. And I think, you know, that's the last thing that you want is God against you. You know, I can't even imagine the thought of God against me.
And, you know, I think what people are like, oh, we have a merciful God. He's a good God. But nobody wants to really say, like, he will come down with the wrath, you know,
yes.
If you go back and look, he opened the earth and swallowed that family. Remember
yes.
the one that
yeah.
they took for themselves and they weren't supposed to.
Right.
I think that was it Exodus, I think?
And Exodus, yeah, because they took more than they were supposed to.
And then they were, I think, yes. Well, nobody was supposed to take anything. And so he had Moses call that family. And the man said, yes, that he did take the spoils. And he opened the earth and took them all. So he has wrath. Like, he will what he says he will do.
Yep. And I don't think we talk about that enough. I don't think we hear about that part of God enough, you know, like and I think that's what's wrong with us right now, you know, is that we don't know God, you know, and why it's so important to read the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament is where you get to know God, I think, more intimately and his ways. And then, and you can only get that from reading scripture.
Right.
So here we see that. And I don't think we ever see ourselves as God's enemies, but here he is saying my foes and my enemies. And if you're making if you're making a Christian stumble, if you're trying to direct them in the wrong way, then you are his enemy and you are his foe. Right. And he will defend those that are following him, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but then, you know, he's not saying I'm going to destroy you. He says, I will restore you. You know, I will restore your judges to what they were at first and your advisors to what they were at the start. So here we see that he's going to send people to advise us and to point us in the right direction, to advise us and to judge us, you know, to tell us, hey, you're going in the wrong way, and to advise us. And I think that's a big point, because we should pray. If you feel lost, and if you don't know, if you don't understand, and you want to make a change, you know, you want to change your life around, you're in the pit, you're in darkness, that you can tell God, send somebody to advise me and to help me in the right mm-hmm. way that I should go. And he will, you know, or even pray for, right. for those in our family or a friend or whoever is seeking that, you know, that you see it is heading in the wrong direction or is in a dark place, that mm-hmm. to pray that God sends him somebody.
Right.
And don't be surprised if it's you that he sends, but that they are out there, you know, there are, he does have his advisors out there.
Yeah.
So, and he says that afterwards you will be called a righteous city, a faithful town. So I believe God's already working on that, you know, on making us righteous again.
Yeah.
And so yes. And then here he says Zion will be redeemed by justice. So we will be his daughters of Zion again. And
but you know, only those that will repent.
Yes, so only those who repent by righteousness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, both rebels and sinners will be broken. I thought that was interesting, both rebels and sinners.
Because wouldn't that be the same thing?
Yes, but because then those who will abandon the Lord will perish. But like both rebels and sinners will be broken, because he's like, we will all be broken, right? Because he's talking to all of us. There's not a person without sin. So we will all be broken, but in the sense broken to where we only look up to him, you know? So that's why it's sometimes broken is not bad. It's a reset, you know? And we talked about that before.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's not until we're completely broken that we are willing to that we are where he says in the previous chapter, be willing and obedient, because sometimes it's not until we're broken that we are willing and obedient, you know?
Yes.
So, so in other words, like he's going to turn up the heat, you know, he's going to turn up the heat to refine us, and restore us to the people that we were meant to be, to who the people were, you know, when they were obedient, and righteous. And then our last few verses, indeed, they will be ashamed of the sacred trees you desired, and you will be embarrassed because of the garden shrines you have chosen. For you will become like an oak whose leaves are withered, and like a garden without water. The strong one will become tinder and his work a spark. Both will burn together, no one to extinguish the flames. So first, you know, indeed you will, they will be ashamed of the sacred trees. So the sacred trees and the garden shrines are the idols. You know, he's talking about our idols. And remember, our idols can be, you know, it's whatever we put before God. It can be our jobs. It could be, you know, a relationship, you know, with our children, our spouses, or it can be, it's all the things that we put before God. But here, you know, I hadn't noticed before, Yvette, too, that here he says he promises the gift of ashamed and of shame and embarrassment. He says they will be ashamed of those idols, and they will be embarrassed because of those idols that they have chosen.
They have chosen.
Yes.
And you know, those are so, I think that's us too. You know, once we repent and once we come to him, that shame is hard to remove, you know. And then, if you think about it, then you're embarrassed because it's like, wow, I can't believe I did this to him.
Exactly.
You know, because I'm guilty of having idols, not knowing that that's what I was doing.
Yes.
Until it was brought forth, you know, like it's in my face, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe.
Well, until you are giving that understanding, right? Because he says they do not understand. Right. So once you're giving that understanding and you know the truth about God and that we're his children and that he loves us, then it's like when you know, when you did your parents wrong and then you feel that shame and embarrassment, you know, because of what you did. And but that's, you know, that could be a good sign, because it could be what turns us away from sin, you know, because right. yeah. we were like, we would never do that again. You know, I never right. want to do that again. So in that Ooh. Sense, and that's why it's a gift of shame and embarrassment, because in that sense, shame and embarrassment is good.
Right.
It's when because you're it shameless helps. And you're not embarrassed of what you did, that's nothing not good.
Yeah. yeah. Right.
Yes. So,
that's good. I'm glad you pointed that out. I didn't have that highlighted or underlined, and I've gotten this pages quite a bit, and I never took that like you did. And I've read Isaiah like twice or three times, I think twice, full on, you know, and dissecting it like this, it just opens up a whole new.
It does. There's so meaning. Much. And that's just chapter one.
That's just chapter one. But it's, so. It's, and then it's almost like I'm afraid to dissect more, because that's a lot in just the first. Can you imagine? And there's
yes.
like over 40 chapters, I think, in Isaiah. Yeah. So there's a lot that he had to preach. And yeah, I can't wait to see what more, because I mean, this is hard to hear, because that was us too.
Yeah, that was us too. But I think it's why we're so, why we're doing this, right? Because we want to share yeah. what we've learned and what right. we understand now, so that
right
so you don't have to carry yourself for that peace and that joy, because no. it's as simple as stopping, you know, stop right. from sinning and turning our turning away from sin and returning to God, you know. It's right. making that choice. It is a journey, but once you right. but it's the hardest part, I think, is making that choice.
When I think we've talked about that with the choice, choose right, because I didn't choose. God broke me, you mm-hmm. know, and not just once, but twice back to back on two different things. And it's like, what else, you know? And so if I can go back, I would want to choose him on my own and take that journey, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So I, you know, this is a good lesson too. You have a choice. Choose wisely.
Yes, because do you want to come to him in your brokenness? You know, do you yeah. How hot do you want that fire to get, that burn to get? You know,
right.
because it
right.
can get pretty hot. So yeah, but I think some good questions to ask yourself is, you know,
yeah,
are you a donkey or the ox? are you worse than them, you know? Because you I'd rather right. be the ox and the donkey than to be worse than the ox and the donkey. So yeah. but yeah. you know,
but
have you turned your back on God, you know?
Right. And a lot of these people already have heard about Abraham and Moses and mm-hmm. all that, and they still didn't turn, you
no.
know, and yeah. they wanted this and God gave it, they wanted that, and there he went, you know. I mean, all these things that you can think about, whether it was they wanted more than just the manna that he would give them, so mm-hmm. he gave them quail, then they weren't happy with that, and then they wanted water because that one didn't taste good, you know, so then right. he gives them this, and it was like nothing was ever. Instead of looking at the clothes on their backs that never wore out, that never got holes, you know,
it was never enough. What he provided for them was never enough.
Yeah. yeah. And that's why they say now money doesn't bring you happiness. You can have all the money, all the materialistic, and you're like, well, oh, God bless me with all this. But did he, you know, can you honestly say that, like, I have a relationship with God and I'm fulfilled because of him, not because of what he gives me, but because of what he gives me on the inside?
Right. Yes. No, I agree. You know, and we need to ask ourselves, where am I in my faith? Because I might have read that a while back and said, mm-hmm. well, I haven't rebelled, you know, I haven't rebelled. So he's not talking about me. I don't know. That's who's calling a donkey in the house, because that ain't me.
Because they ain't smarter than me. No, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, so I think, you know, ask where are you in your faith, and ask him to show you, you know, what, how's right. your heart, you know, how's your heart?
I think Tony's notes are really good. because we are using Tony Evans study Bible, and it down here on 117, true repentance, which is the inner resolve to turn from sin and return to God. Like, that's the only way.
That's the
you
only
will be
way.
Righteous, and you will be called, you know, the righteous city at a faithful town. And I love when he gives those names. And you told me about them. So when I got my first one, I was like, yes, my name's not even that anymore. No, but I mean, it's beautiful. But true repentance is the one thing that not many people want to face, right. I think. Because if you repent, you have to name those sins. And some of us are.
Yes. And I think, because we might ask God, what am I doing wrong? Well, here he's spelling it out. This is what you're doing wrong, And really only by reading scripture can you see that truth and understand that truth.
Right.
So you really need to ask him and he will. He'll give you that understanding, and he'll show you, and it might not be what you want to hear, and you might reject it and run away. But
right.
I think that's where we need to choose. Okay, do I want to face these truth and get right with him, and settle these things so I can have a fresh start? Or do I want to continue running and stay in my ways,
Right. No, exactly. Yep.
Do you have a prayer?
Yes. I have a scripture. And I thought it was fitting. It's Proverbs 22, and it's words of the wise. Listen closely, pay attention to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge, for it is pleasing if you keep them within you. And if they are constantly on your lips, I have instructed you today, even you, so that your confidence may be in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Perfect.
Amen. And thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.